What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
So disgusted. I'm beyond disgusted, and I don't want to get too upset, but I'm furious. I'm infuriated. I'm pissed. I'm pissed because it's scary. It's scary the fact that just being born male puts you in such a dangerous position. Women are online all day, every day, talking about how dangerous it is to be a woman, how scary it is. Men are talking about it too, talking about, you know, women getting hurt when they go out, getting harassed. But who's talking about what men are going through? So many men are losing their livelihood, losing their reputation based off of allegations, many times them being false or being altered in their favor. We've seen it with countless people. You know, I'm not gonna get into if Shannon Sharp is right or wrong, but I'll just say, in my opinion, Shannon Sharp had a fetish. Tons of people have fetishes. Why do you think all of these pornography categories exist? There are hundreds of pornography categories. There are all types of stuff that some of the things are sick, disgusting, but guess what? It's a category for a reason. People are into these things. And people are getting an agreement with women having consensual acts. And just because a woman maybe gets remorseful later or just sees an opportunity or a come up, they're able to just totally manipulate the situation and make it seem like it wasn't consensual. And now we're at a point where we're redefining what consent is. Consent is consent. People are saying, you could say yes in the moment, but if you say no later, it wasn't consent. Like, it's so confusing, and I just feel so sorry and empathetic and honestly just upset, because we have boys coming up, we have sons, like our kids, like, what are we teaching them? Where are we? The fact that women get these privileges just because of their genitalia. Literally, the only difference at its core, when we're all born, some of us are women and some of us are born men, and we're just in a place in society where just because you're born a man, you get all these deficits against you. Women could just say anything about you. And they can get you locked up. They can get you killed. Look at Merlin Santana. Merlin Santana was murdered over a lie. A lie that a female told just because he wasn't giving her no play. He lost his life. This stuff happens all the time. Emmett Till was killed because of a lie a woman told. Like, it's dangerous to tell these lies. Men are losing everything because of these lies. And it's up to us as women. I don't care if you're an influencer. I don't care if you're just a day-to-day person with a TikTok. I don't care if you don't have any social media and you're just out in the world having these conversations. It's up to all of us as good standing women. Us women, we have to hold these other women's feet to the fire. We have to, because they're painting the perception for all of us. Women are out here complaining, oh, there's no good men. Why do you think that is? First of all, I don't believe that. But let's say that were true. Why do you think that is? It's because we're destroying the good men that are left. Men are, they have reason to be afraid of us. We're complaining about men not approaching us. I wouldn't want to approach us either. It's scary times. This woman came to him, allegedly. And I believe him. So, this woman came to him. And a woman can literally come to you, have consensual relations with you, and say that it wasn't that, and you could lose everything. I wouldn't want to approach women either. It's a dangerous time to be a man. It is crazy. And I just, it's so many levels. I want us to talk more about this because there's so many people who have become victim to this as of recent.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'd like to welcome you here for another Philly Fridays edition on here live on Fet Live Station at FetLiveStation.com. You can also catch us at the True Crime. I'm always saying True Crime. You can catch us at True Crime, True Stories Network, as well as the True Stories Podcast Network. That's the True Stories Podcast Network. Let's give it. All right. Yes, right. That's right. Got some new sounds with me. So, and y'all already know. You know what I'm saying? We no longer lock the door anymore. We just let you know we're not playing. When we say you here. You're not holding. Maybe you didn't hear me. That's right. We loaded up, baby. Locked and loaded. You can't go nowhere now. So, yeah, we can still have some of the old, some of the new. But, I started off with that clip because that lady was speaking to some of the norms that a lot of men are dealing with nowadays. And, you know, the irony is these were things that truly, 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 truly have dissuaded a lot of men, right? These ain't just brothers now, but, you know, my podcast, I'm speaking for the brothers. It's discouraged a lot of men from being out here, you know, in the, like, just approaching women and trying to engage in ways traditionally where we had in the past, brothers would love to try to holler at a woman. You see her at a bus stop, you see her at the supermarket, you see her walking down the street. Sometimes, you know, you see her while you're driving and you beep the horn. And that used to be a time when you can actually engage a woman. You have no idea how much play a brother used to get just by beeping the horn. Toot, toot. Hey, what's going on, sweetheart? How you go? You look good out here. You know, can I pull over? Can we talk for a second? You'd be amazed at how things used to be just 20 years ago. Then we started having the advent of, you know, street harassment propaganda that was being pushed out there. It's like the whole notion, if you remember those movies or television shows where a woman would walk past a construction site and all of the workers would be out there giving her cat calls, barking at her, you know, howling like a wolf. You know what I'm saying? That's a gross exaggeration in terms of what was happening. And it was a tremendous movement. And look, just like a lot of negative things, you know, for some strange reason, black men have become the face of this. And so just like a lot of these other movements where they start off talking about other men, but then they sort of like massage the whole narrative that this is really about black men. And so they had this Jewish girl walking down the street in Harlem talking about, you know, she walked for like 7 hours, but she only had 12 minutes of footage. So she carefully curated this footage to give the impression that brothers were the ones harassing her on the street. You only got 12 minutes of harassment out of 7 hours of walking in Harlem. You know what I'm saying? Because people thought, oh, she, because what she did was she tried to say it was Manhattan. No. Well, people who don't know, Harlem is a neighborhood in Manhattan. Manhattan is the actual borough that Harlem is in. It's just the northern half of Manhattan. That's why they call it Uptown. And they call Manhattan like the actual, you know, where Times Square is, anything south of 110th Street, south of Central Park or parallel to Central Park, they call that Manhattan. You New Yorkers, y'all listening, y'all know, y'all need to school people on that. So this is why, you know, I take issue with that, because from that you had the street harassment. Then it escalated to the Me Too movement. If anybody don't, there was a woman, and it was a black woman that started the Me Too movement. It got no traction whatsoever because she started the whole "you okay, sis," you know, a phrase that actually picked up some steam, but it didn't really get traction nationally until Alyssa Milano started talking about it right around the time of the pandemic. COVID, Alyssa Milano went live, or she put out a video clip talking about how women were being harassed in Hollywood. And as soon as her friend, the irony is, as soon as her friend Harvey Weinstein was implicated, she started backing off of that whole Me Too thing, you know, talking about how it was blown out of proportion, how she wasn't talking about her friend Harvey Weinstein, even though he was one of the main culprits, right? It's funny because when Lupita, you know, all the sisters jumped on it until Lupita said that Harvey Weinstein assaulted her. And he denied that, and the sisters got quiet. The sisterhood got quiet behind that, which is it's just the irony, like how much steam and energy Bill Cosby, how much vitriol Bill Cosby took from that, right? And so I want to address this particular clip real quick. Hold on, let me see. I know there ain't no music with this. Hold on.
All women are crazy. All women are this. All women are that. They're not. They're not. There was a gentleman on that post about, you know, masculine men approach women. And he's like, no, you know, the Me Too movement and this. Okay. What? Okay. Who do you know personally who suffered from Me Too?
Who? And I can say I have, right? You know me. So when your brother tells me, when your brother tells you that all men are guilty until proven innocent, I literally had to prove my innocence. And because this particular person allowed someone else to tell their story, I could not prove that it was them that actually created the implication. Right? But I was exonerated of all the BS. But that's the only reason why I have not yet been able to pursue that legally. As soon as I figure out how to get the actual, you know, to make the to make those statements stick, you best believe you're going to hear about your brother. But moving forward,
who do you know who knows someone who suffered from Me Too? Like, seriously, when was the last time? Like, you all act like this is every other woman is talking to HR about you or trying to get in. No, it's really a small percentage of people. It really is. It's a very small percentage of women. Most women are not running to HR to talk to HR about you saying their dress look nice. You know, like, no.
And here's the problem with that whole the dismissive nature. And this woman is usually down the line fair. But here's the problem with this when you're dismissive like this. It's this whole notion of believe all women, right? And especially if you work in professions that are dominated by women. Then the whole, you know, she gets to tell her story. She gets to evoke the emotions, this, that, and the other. You're really fighting uphill to just tell your side of what happened. You know, I've been accused of conversations that never took place. There are no witnesses in the conversation for some strange reason. Everything that I stated, there was a witness for. Everything that was stated against me, there was no witnesses. Just hold on. No witnesses. So I personally can understand this and understand why men would back off in the professional environment, especially after the New York, I believe it was the New Yorker, had posted that page of 50 different executives, and they all were white executives that were accused of some sort of sexual misconduct. Men across the country in corporate spaces stop talking to women. I mean, stop zero, like they want cold turkey. It wasn't even a complimentary. It was, if it's not related to the business at hand, we have no conversation for you. And the women started complaining about how uncomfortable they were in these work environments. That was the beginning of what we now know as the nuclear winter. Yeah, I'm gonna use the hell out of that sound effect. Y'all gonna be y'all gonna tell me to slow down. But that was the beginning of it. Because as black men, we know
the hunt is on. And you're the prey.
And if they're coming after white men, then we already know. Like, it was the thing where people don't even understand how black men saw the Bill Cosby cases. Like, the cases and the charges against Bill Cosby. Because it was the evidence was so, like, the evidence was so inconsistent. Right? It was... And supposedly, the criminal justice system is supposed to work like, you know, you have to prove without any reasonable doubt. 90% you have to be 90% certain to convict somebody of a crime, right? That's the whole reasonable doubt. So if it's 89%, you're not supposed to get convicted. But we saw how flimsy the evidence was against Bill Cosby. And the brothers was like, damn, if it can happen to America's dad, you know what I'm saying? Then what chance do we have to fight against an accusation? None of us were worth $500 million like he was. I know it was paraded that he was a billionaire. It turned out he had on $480 million, which is nothing to sneeze at. But he lost a lot of his fortune fighting his case. Cases, documents that were supposed to be sealed. And so, you know, people, well, to transcripts, he admitted to putting Quaaludes in their drinks. Do you understand that in that particular time, Quaalude was just like smoking weed? Like, you got to understand the eras that people were in. And I'm not even trying to validate Bill Cosby right now. I'm just saying that, damn, the witnesses couldn't even remember when it happened, how it happened. They had consensual relationships, not just like consensual sex, consensual relationships. Since then, and I don't even want to get into it, because then you got into, you know, all the other, you know, psychobabble that comes into it. But men was like, yo, if it can happen to him, brothers was like, man, I'm not even trying to catch up, get caught up with that type shit. And then it could just happen if she's mad at you, she has a vendetta against you, she, you know, I mean, we are all familiar with, if she's upset with you, she can beat herself up and then claim that you domestically assaulted her. Like domestic battery and all those different things. We were familiar with that, right? And I'm, you know, so brothers started recording, catching women on tape and on, you know, catching women on camera, calling the police officers while they're setting them up. There was one video where a brother was on the phone with the cops and going live. He was upstairs, she was downstairs, talking about, oh my God, he's chasing me around the house with a gun. You know? So the brothers had backed off of it. So hold on, because, you know, it's crazy because I always overload material. But, and then there's this, you know, there's this type of abuse. You know, there's this, because, well, before we get to that, it's these, right? You start hearing this.
Because these men today, and I'll keep saying.
And I'm going to tell you what she's responding to before I go back to it. There was a question that was asked. It says a lot of men have stopped approaching women because they're afraid of rejection, LOL, and the laughing emoji.
That is true. You're absolutely correct. Because these men today, and I'll keep saying it again, these men today are not the same as the man from back in the day, because back in the day, it used to be a competition. Men used to hunt. These days, they are afraid of rejection. They are afraid of a woman saying no for embarrassment or whatever the case may be. But back in the day, they did not care about that whatsoever. It used to be a competition. Who can get the woman first? Who can get the number first? Who can get how many numbers? These men were on the hunt. Why isn't it not the same? Make men be men again, because stop being in your feminine girly era. If you're a whole man, you're not supposed to be waiting on a woman to approach you. If you are a man, you're supposed to be on the pursuit. If you are a man, I'm not gonna go out of my way, out of my divine feminine energy, to go up to a man and be like, hey, you look handsome, what's your number, slide my number over. I'm not doing it.
And see, this is what I'm talking about, right? Because once again, this is disingenuous, first of all. A disingenuous testimony or response, you know, to this whole concept of, with, you know, we now understand the sign language, you know, the shaming, the insults, the guilt, and the need to be right. So as you can see, the shaming element was evident here in regards to talking about how, you know, masculine men, this, that, and the other, with how men need to get out of their feminine and start approaching women, start to address women or start to come for women, because back in the day it used to be about bragging rights. Listen, we don't live in those days and times. There was a time you can do that and not worry about being identified as a predator. There was a time you can do that and not worried about being labeled as a creep. Now women don't, you know, women pretend like they don't, that, like they have not, like they didn't co-sign the whole Me Too narrative, the Me Too experience. And then they can all go to an anecdotal period in time or an event in their life and say, well, this happened to me. As if all the men can't say the same thing. At this particular time, I was falsely accused of this. At this particular time, this chick tried to get me robbed. At this particular time, you know, this chick beat herself up and tried to call the cops on me. Or we can talk about how men have had to deal with this a lot. You know, this particular set of questions. Check this out.
So, was you gonna tell our sister, well, my sister,
That she wasn't yours either? Another
like,
one?
Like I say, I took care of both of y'all best I could. Not saying it was the greatest, best I could.
I'm not arguing that one. I'm saying
all right,
that.
Well, I, no,
this
I
is getting out of hand now.
No, I wasn't going
to
tell.
So me and my sister is not yours?
No, neither way. I met both of y'all.
No, you did not make none of us.
I said I met.
Met, yes, you
both
met
of y'all.
But the thing is, I'm older than my sister, so how is she not yours?
Where'd you go? I mean, when I met her, your mother had both of you.
Pops, my sister wasn't even born when you guys got together. So how is it that she's not your daughter?
I gotta ask your mother again. I don't know these things. I ain't there.
So you being funny again?
Yeah, well, what am I going to tell you?
What do you mean, what am I going to tell you? How's that possible?
Yeah, shit, is it? Papa's maybe that.
You turn this into a joke. It's not funny.
It's the truth. I don't know.
and you're comfortable with it. You don't really give a damn.
Just
lay an egg. So yeah, you don't care she cheated on you.
Yeah, right. Like shit. They just are closing the bar. The whole house is gone.
I'm done with you.
And then you see the vitriol the son had for him, right? Like, the son was upset with him that he was not their biological fathers. Like him and his sister. You know, his mother stepped out. You heard him, papa's baby, mama's maybe. So the brothers, you know, men have to deal with that too. And now with the advancement in science and now with DNA evidence, before it used to be blood tests, now it's DNA evidence. And now what have you seen? You've seen a major pushback against any proposal to make DNA testing mandatory during childbirth before a name is placed on the birth certificate. Why do you think there is such pushback against that? Unless this is still going on. Unless there's a lot of disingenuous and dishonest, you know, relations in terms of, you know, the men and the women getting down. Who's really fathering these children that are being birthed? All right? We really have to address those things. And then why is the man so angry with his father? This man actually still stepped in. Like, this is what women say they want. They want, hold up. y'all thought I didn't come prepared. You know, Where is it at? Something I can't prepare, damn it. Hold on. I know it's up here somewhere. I got it somewhere. Oh, I know where it's at. Hold tight, y'all. I gotta find this other clip. You know, because, you know, let me see. Where is it at? Man, where the hell did I do with the other clip? Man, I had another clip that I was going to put out there. But I don't think I... Did I keep it? Oh, alarms. Well, damn it, I had another clip I was going to put up there where, you know... Oh, this clip right here. Check this out.
This comment right here, I really don't think that he's speaking for all men, because I know that there will be somebody that steps up one day to be some sort of father figure for my child. It's also very, like, I'm very surprised that you felt comfortable actually typing this out and commenting on someone's video. Like, it's just the wildest thing. You don't know my circumstances with my child or his father. Yeah, that's basically it.
So the question is, no. Well, the statement that she's responding to is someone in the comments, I guess they replied to another video that she had, because, you know, not Instagram, but TikTok, they allow you to respond to comments, right, with another clip. So somebody stated, no man wants to raise another man's child and be the cleanup guy. Pass. So this is what she's responding to in regards to that. Now, we just saw the last man raise these children
And then you saw how his children felt about it. You know what I'm saying? This is what we, this is where we get to when you have the, today's society. It's like, it's not even appreciated by the children anymore that are raised. All right. So, and this is why it has become a nuclear winter now. You know, and let's go back. Let's go back. Because there's some people right now that don't understand. Right? That don't understand. They don't understand where why we're calling it. Because, you know, Kevin Samuels was... He should be a prophet for calling out that winter's coming, right? Winter's here. But I'm going to show y'all why this is a nuclear winter. Give me 2 seconds. All right?
That's what you get when you a single woman and you got your neighbors, all your neighbors got a man and their man or husband out there shoveling snow and shit. Look at this shit. My shit ain't been touched. My son ain't home. This shit is real. Look at this. Lady across the street. Look at that. Her man out there shoveling the snow. I gotta sit here and look. Look at my dad.
The whole block getting shoveled out, except for her house. And you see story after story. Because we just had the craziest snowstorm in the last 10 years with the most snowfall in one day. You know, some people got, here in Philly, we averaged about 9-10 inches up and down. You know, it wasn't even just the East Coast, because this went all the way down to Florida. You know what I'm saying? This particular storm, they didn't get as much snow, but it got cold as hell in Florida. They are not used to that. Trust me. Ask me how I know. But what she's referring to is the fact that everybody who had a man, all the women that had a man, were able to snow them to shovel themselves out of snow. And I know this because I know some women that were angry because brothers were just walking by while they were trying to chisel their cars out of ice mound. Because if you let it sit for a couple of days, first of all, it rained right afterwards. It was freezing rain right afterwards. Now you have, you know, this snow is packed in, is packed and sticking. Then on top of that, you had the freezing rain. Like, you know, on top of that. So what happened was the temperature then nosedived into single digits. Here in Philly, the lows were like 6 degrees, 4 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you go to like, and like the highs was in the teens, that shit was frozen like, you know, something you would put in your freezer. You could leave your food outside and not have to worry about it spoiling. There was a lot of women outside that had to get their cars out, shovel their front. And a lot of them were entitled because, you know, especially like on my block, it used to be a time where me and two other brothers, they're older than me. They're elders now. And I'm in my 50s now. But it was a time when we would just go outside and take care of, you know, the top half of the block. Shovel a path to the cars, shovel a path to the street. And if we could, we'd knock off a few cars. But the elders are now elders. They're no longer at that age where they can get out there and just do it like that. You know what I'm saying? And me, I can't, you know, I'm dealing with healing from certain situations, so I can't be out there like that. Now, fortunately for me, y'all heard my story. My young dudes came through, and they were able to look out for a brother. And they cleared 2 spots out, parking spots. My spot and the spot where, you know, one of my neighbors live. They cleared those spots out. But nowadays, you know, the ladies, they, you know what I'm saying? You know, and it's whatever now, you know? So the brothers aren't approaching the women right now. And I want y'all to check this out, because this is the sister Dee Dee, and she's appearing on Ask a Brother podcast. You know, so I want y'all to hear, you know, her response to the question. Check this out.
From your vantage point, why aren't men chasing and approaching women to the same degree?
Well, it's their behavior. It's the behavior, the attitude, the entitlements, the expectations, the expectations that they have from men these days for relationships is ridiculous, in my opinion. What you expect from a man, the approach, men are probably one of the reasons they're probably scared to approach because of the attitudes that how they might, you know, nobody wants to be. It's one thing, in my opinion, to be rejected, but it's how, you know, and a lot of these women are just entitled. They think that they're better than average men. And so if a man, an average man approach these, see a woman that he thinks is attractive, he don't know, he doesn't know what he's going to be met with. You know, she could be like, ew, get away from me. Oh my God. He's, why are you approach? They think that they're too cool for school. Like, you can't approach them. If you do, it's like, if they don't like you, it's like, you know, they treat you like you're something ew, something nasty. Like, so why, if I was a man, I wouldn't approach either. The entitlements, the things that they're asking for, you got to make six figures. You got to pay their rent just to take them on a date. Like, who in the hell is doing that?
Your vantage point.
So, and give it. Yeah, I love that. Love that. Love that. Yeah, I got the AES, the H bomb dropping, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Nuclear winter is here. And she's right. And not only that, it's just because what she didn't say is that the women are mean now. It's mean. It's a mean spirited, you know, I get joy out of humiliating men. You know, that's why there was what's that show? Popular Balloon. Yeah, I give that show no credence because it's a humiliation ritual for the men. It's a gauntlet of humiliation. And now you've seen it backfire because now the men have become petty in regards to the reasons they will pop the balloon on a woman when she comes out. They'll start talking about, well, I liked him, but I didn't like the color of his socks. I liked him, but that, you know, he had a goofy ass haircut. You know, it's like the most minuscule stuff. Like, you don't even know anything about this man. You don't know what his intrinsic values are. You don't know anything about his character. You don't even know anything about whether or not he's even masculine. He hasn't really had a chance to even engage with you. You didn't choose to ask some questions. Before he walks out, pop, 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 it's like a goddamn pack of firecrackers going off. And it's just a mean-natured situation. And here's another... Like, hold on. Because I got something. We ain't going to get to see all this. But I want y'all to check this out, right? And this is a clip where, and this is like, because this ain't, white men been on this type shit. This is a white guy. He been on this type shit. So check this out. Hold on.
Don't ever say that to me again. You're involved whether you like it or not.
Just to be clear, that was her slapping the horse shit out of her husband. All right? Just so y'all know what that pop was.
Do something. Say something. If you hate me, say you hate me.
I'm tired. I want you to go to bed.
She just flipped over the kitchen table.
He should fight back.
Is that what you want?
I want a reaction. I want a real marriage.
When do you have to go? After lunch? I'm going to leave. I've fallen in love.
What?
What about Mum? She'll be better off without me. I didn't realize until I got to know Angela. With Angela, it's easy. With Grace, everything I do is wrong.
Y'all heard that, right? New woman rolled in. This man looked like he in his 70s. Bouncing. He out of there. Gone. All right? The mistreatment to the point where... And for no reason. For no reason. Like you said, the new woman is easy. So check this out.
I know I go for you sometimes. I'll try to stop.
That's the wife. That's the one that just slapped him and flipped over the table.
I've been walking away. I've been avoiding things.
Thank God. You're saying it at last.
I want to leave.
Leave to go where?
There's someone else.
Someone else?
I'm sorry.
He won't leave, will he?
I think I'll leave.
You found a way to sneak out of it.
I'm sorry. I've made up my mind.
You can't just walk away after 29 years. You have to try.
I have tried for 29 years.
And that's just it. It's like they think the last thing they do to you is the reason you leave. No, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. For 29 years, this man was married to her, and he was trying. He was trying to make it work, trying to see past all of her mean streak, trying to see past her, you know, terrible attitude, trying to see past her temper tantrums, all those things, to the point where she's physically assaulting this man. And then she's telling him, you got to fight for it. Fight for what? Another day of being abused? Have y'all lost your freaking minds? This is out of control. This is not going on no more. All right? And nobody wants to die miserable. That's why men will go at it alone. Men will go at it alone. And check this, right? Because women still are delusional. A lot of women are still delusional as to why men don't approach them no more. Check, like, you've heard them. Men used to be men. This and that. There's no accountability for why, what their behavior is or has been that have made men decide to step off, right? But they don't know, like, just like that man, right? Just like the clip we just watched, right? That man has had enough. He has had enough. He's over it. He's over it. He's done with it. And that's a lot of men today. A lot of men are over it. Check this out. Why men don't approach
Mainly
women
because
no
more? Because we see it online all the time. If, like, a woman gets approached, she doesn't want to, about how she hates it,
yeah.
Or a guy, you know, comes across as a creep. And most guys are just terrified of coming across as a creep.
Yeah.
Right? But then at the same time, they don't know if you find them attractive unless they shoot their shot. But if they get it wrong,
they don't want to be rejected these days.
You see how she just shot to the whole rejection thing? That's because women don't want to be rejected. That's their biggest fear in terms of approaching men. Women will not approach men because of the fear of rejection. We know that they have come clean and said it on many of occasions. This is not just, you know, rhetorical speaking. This is not guesswork. They have literally come out and said the reason they don't approach men is because they don't want to be rejected. That's not why men don't approach women. Listen to what this brother says.
I think guys can accept the risk of rejection, okay. But I think the consequence of being rejected by a girl who really takes it the wrong way is too high.
That's fair.
And so if you couple that with bringing in dating apps now, dating apps remove the risk of being construed as harassment or
that's very interesting, yeah, because it's like you're open and willing to receive that energy anyway.
Well, yeah, because if you match with her, then you know she finds you attractive.
But same case scenario, let's play this out. So let's say we're both in like a Soho house or wherever, and you're making eye contact with the girl all night and there's very clearly like reciprocal energy, then what's the difference between that and a dating app? In person, you can also see that, but the men still might not approach.
So one thing I would say is that I think for a lot of women, they think they're given strong cues, but they're not.
And that's hold on. Yeah, I ain't see that. That was me dodging bullets like Neo in the Matrix. That's how it goes down, y'all. That's how it goes down. So what he's saying is something that I think that a lot of women don't really want to account for because it means that it's something with them. The brother just said it can go horribly wrong if she rejects him. Let me tell you something else. It can go horribly wrong if she first likes him and then he decides that he no longer wants to be with her. You want to talk about, man, listen, this is why I can have this conversation, because anecdotally and through other brothers I've counseled and through just observation, video study of other anecdotal experiences, to the point where now, statistically speaking, you're talking to men and they're saying they don't want to take that risk. Women are talking about, oh, don't be a punk. Let me explain something. It's not being a punk to identify that you have a greater chance as being labeled a predator, as being charged with a felonious crime. And I'm talking about for innocent men. Than you do of actually hitting the goddamn lottery. You can hit, you will have better chances. I'm not even talking about Powerball. I'm not talking about Mega Millions. I'm talking about your local state lotteries. I'm talking about the three-digit lotteries, the daily lottery and the midday lottery. You have a better chance of being identified as providing unwanted attention. And you know how many women will look at you just to lure you into that trap? I was just at the store the other day, and this young woman, you know, I have my scanner, my digital scanner, right? My digital scan for, you know, your coupons and whatever. And I go to hand my phone to the young lady so she can scan it. He said, nope. Put your fucking phone down there. Don't touch the fucking phone. I turned around because I didn't. I'm like, what did you just say? You heard me. You know, don't touch the fucking phone. That's what the guy just said. She said, that's what they just said to me. I said, what are you talking about? So apparently this couple was in front of me. And apparently she reached for one of their phones. And there was a reaction. I'm telling you, this had to be the quietest form of disrespect or whatever, or the quietest conflict I've ever heard in my entire life. Because she didn't raise her voice. She didn't alert anybody to it, and I didn't hear it. And they were literally 6 feet away from me. So then I said, I said, what do you mean? She said, you didn't hear them tell me that? I said, nah. She said, well, what would you have done if you had heard them? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, if it's between you and another woman, I'm going to see what you do. No, it wasn't the woman. It was the man. Would you have protected me? Or are you scared? And see, that's that sign language, that shame, insult, guilt. She tried to guilt me into saying I would do something. Listen, lady, first of all, young lady, I don't know you. Now, I'm going to tell you, physically, she was gorgeous. But you could just see that trouble brewed in her. And there's a reason why I say that, right? First of all, I think one of the reasons that she didn't alert security, because that's what she should have done, is because this was a white couple that was in front of this sister. Right? And for some strange reason, the reaction is not as visceral had this been another brother. Like the way she responded to me, she didn't give them that same smoke, and they're the ones that supposedly said that shit to her. Security is right there. Like 25 feet away, security sitting right there at the door. Her manager came, and so then was a woman behind me in the line, and she started, what the fuck you looking at? And the woman looked at her like, what? And she tried to pretend like she was talking to the manager behind, because it was another employee of the market behind that woman. And the woman looked at her like, she's like, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to her behind you. And her manager said, no, you wasn't. You was looking right at that woman. And, you know, I'm looking at her like, okay, now I'm not even sure if they even said what they said. If they said what you said, they said. If not, you just was trying to spark some bullshit. Because now she's playing around now. She's playing with everybody. And this is what I mean by these. A lot of women don't mind putting you in a bad predicament or putting you in a situation. And this is why a lot of men are just turning away. This is why when sisters are outside shoveling, brothers don't even offer no more. Why? Because I don't know what the fuck this might get me into. I don't know. But I do know is walking down the street, minding my business, is safe. It's safer for me, because ain't shit safe for a black man when he step outside. Hell, sometimes the trouble finds its way into his house. And this is why brothers are stepping away. The nuclear winter. You got men going overseas. These men are going overseas. They're not coming back. Listen, you got women when divorces don't work out. Listen to what's happening. Hold on, let me. Listen to what's happening when divorces don't work out.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's really triggering for me because I walked away with literally having to start over after 12 years of starting over, of wondering if I'm going to be able to keep a roof over my head with my boys. And
this divorce that nobody talks about. So almost a year later, you still sit in your car crying because you just want your family back. You would do anything to get your family back, but it doesn't matter.
I just came to the realization that, like, if you're 40 years old, you're never gonna find love. Like, oh my God. Sorry, I woke up like really, really emotional because I was married for, oh my God, stop. I was married for over 20 years, and like,
I ended up losing the man that I was supposed to marry because I was too hot. I was thinking I was and had options. And I did, but they wasn't good options.
I loved being married, you know? Like, I love being a wife. I love having, like, that one person I love coming home to and, like, venting all my to. And now it's like,
you really don't know what you got until it's gone. If I had known better at the time and I wasn't so young, dumb, and full of, I wouldn't have did that.
I'm not here to kick these women while they're already down, but there's a lesson in this for everyone. For the women, don't confuse attention from simps and random dudes online as real options. It isn't. And chasing the idea that the grass is greener somewhere else usually ends in regret. For the divorced men, the move is simple. Rebuild yourself so hard and so fast that your ex gets triggered by how well you bounce back. And for young women, this part never gets said enough. If you have a man with good morals who cares about you and actually shows up, hold on to him. Thinking you can always do better is exactly how these women fucked around and now finding out.
So the nuclear winter, babe, you know, it's real out here. And I know a lot of brothers that got divorced. A lot of brothers. And it took them a little while, but a lot of those brothers landed on their feet and are better off now than they ever were before. Now, I'm not telling you to get married to get divorced, or I'm not even telling you not to get married, but hey, brothers, I'm telling this now, I'm directing this to you, brothers. You better be damn sure. The vetting process better be thorough. Because nowadays, man, you can't just assume. And women, like, attention is like air. And so many women feel like they have options because their social media is popping. The inboxes is popping. And I'm like, yo, that's the potential. And I try to explain to one sister, I said, she's like, all these guys be hitting me up. It's like, yo, you taking that the wrong way. It's real easy for somebody to slide into your DMs. It's real easy for somebody to slide into your inboxes. It's real easy. There's no effort to it. Hell, half these cats are anonymous anyway. You don't even know who the hell they are. But they don't want to listen. So some people got to learn the hard way now. A lot of women are learning the hard way. And this is the worst part about it all. There's not really going to be a bounce back period from this. Society is going to have to change a lot. the way marriage is being played out, the way custody battles are being played out in family court, a lot of men don't want to be bothered. You have some people in some of the MGTOW and red pill spaces. I haven't heard it too much in the black man's sphere. But you have some men that telling these guys to get snipped at like the age of 22. So they don't have to worry about impregnating nobody. You look, yo, y'all have no idea. A lot of people don't even know these conversations are taking place. But what you do see is, and I forget the magazine that came out with it, but it was a magazine that came out, popular magazine that came out a few years ago, that's dated by 2030. Over 50% of women from ages like 25 to 40 will be single and childless, meaning they've never been married, never had children. And now all you have to do, if you really want to see evidence of this, go to TikTok. For some reason, TikTok has become the female confessional booth. They are out there testifying like you would not believe. And you hear a lot of women. Some women say they are in their 30s and have never been anybody's girlfriend. They say they've never had an established relationship. All they've had is body counts. And real quick, this is another reason, because body counts matter. And I'm going to tell you how much they matter. I'm going to show you how much body counts matter. Check this out. Check this out real quick.
Body count.
My body count? I'd say like under 5.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly, there's a couple situations in which like I don't feel like they count. For example, like if I meet a fan and we decide to do content, I don't consider that part of body count. If I go on a girls trip, whatever happens in that girls trip, I feel like that doesn't count as a body count.
So if you get drunk, 5 guy, you know,
didn't happen.
It doesn't count towards a body count.
It doesn't count because it just doesn't. I feel like the only times I consider body count is when I'm like invested in what I'm doing and like in an emotional way.
So if you met the man of your dreams right now and he wants to spend the rest of his life with you and he says, I just have to ask you one question, just be honest, it doesn't matter, what's your body count? What would you say?
I would be honest. I would say under 5.
And I believe this woman has OnlyFans content. And this is why the nuclear winter is popping. And women know body count matters. That's why they're so secretive about how many bodies they get down, that they have on their ledger. They know the higher they go up in body count, the less value they actually have. It's crazy. You know, there's going to be a part. I think I'm going to do a follow-up to this because there's another joint that I wanted to react to that speaks to this whole phenomenon about the nuclear winter. They don't call it the nuclear winter. I'm calling it the nuclear winter. I'm coining it here first. So if you hear anybody talking about nuclear winter, know they got it from your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. And why do I call it a nuclear winter? I call it a nuclear winter because if you know what a nuclear winter is, a nuclear winter basically is steeped upon if there was ever a nuclear war. And what typically happens is you would have these clouds that are contaminated with, with radiation. And they circumvent the globe. They go around the jet stream. They go around the globe. And they rain, radioactive rain, all over the land. And nothing will grow. It will kill off all the life forms that it comes in contact with. I think they say the only thing that will survive a nuclear winter are cockroaches. right? So when I say, Kevin Samuels was saying winter's here, winter's coming, winter's here, I don't think when he said that anybody understood what type of winter he was referring to. Referring to the nuclear winter. See, the Game of Thrones, when they said winter was here, winter lasted for a few years in the Game of Thrones. They said winter's coming. So when winter got there, that meant this shit was going to last for years. You know what I'm saying? Get your stocks up now. Try to salvage your food, can, all that good stuff, because it's going to be a long time before you can grow crops again. Winter is coming, winter's here. But this is the nuclear winter. So you better dress warm. So with that said, y'all, I want to thank y'all for pulling up for another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. I do believe I'm going to do a part two, because there's so much that I didn't touch on this particular one. And I want to do a little more. I want to come with some numbers. So don't hold me to that. But, you know, I might come with some stats and some numbers next time. But y'all get the picture, right? So, as I always say, take care of yourselves, family. Be strong out there. Hopefully, you know, the worst of this winter has been seen already, and the best is yet to come. Until then, family, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.